The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 453. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Well, this episode features another C3 conversation that I had in the summer. This time I'm sitting down and chatting with indie comic creator Carl Lucas. Now, Carl is the man behind the Ramsey Tales, Murder Queen, Captain Devil, Shogun Bear, and a future project that he's working on called Psychgeist. And we're going to talk all about those. We're also going to talk about Carl's involvement in the C3 organization, because he is the director of the C3 Comic Book Reading Club, which we'll talk a little bit about as well. We also discuss how he got involved in C3 and learn about some of his inspirations and whatnot. I will tell you that I had a blast talking with Carl. We get a little silly and we have a great deal of fun, so this is going to be a great episode for you. But before we get to my conversation with Carl, I need to thank a great sponsor, and that is, of course, WG Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, even collectibles. They got you covered for your fandom. So, if you're in Central Ohio, you need to check out the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is their web address. You can even find them on Facebook. Just search for @WGComics. And once again, I want to thank everybody down there at the store for being a great supporter of the PVD Cast. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Carl Lucas. Welcome to another C3 live stream. Once again, I'm your host, John Orlando, and I'm so happy to be here. I will say that, unfortunately, our great producer, Sydney, cannot be with us tonight due to some other engagement. So you're going to have to bear with me, because I'm not only running the show here. Well, I'm running the show literally and figuratively, I guess you could say. So be patient. Hopefully I don't screw things up. Fingers crossed. I think I got things handled. But nonetheless, my guest who's going to join me to talk about the C Stands For anthology and to talk about C3 and some of his projects is Mr. Carl Lucas. Carl, how you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going, John? Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're quite welcome. I have thoroughly enjoyed chatting with all of the folks affiliated with C3 and the anthology C Stands For. So I'm going to start off with my question that I've asked everybody, Carl. How'd you get involved with C3?
Okay, so this... it might be a long story, might be a short story, but basically I was doing the Saturday morning art classes, and it was kind of during COVID. So there wasn't a lot of communication. So I would go every Saturday to CCAD and just like go to this little classroom for 2 hours on the weekend and not see anybody, you know, and just go teach my class and go home. But at the end of it, they had like a little art show, and then like some of the faculty was there, and like people were walking around, the parents were there from the class for the kiddos and stuff. I should mention, this is grades, you know, it was grades 5 through 6, a younger class. One of the other teachers there told me they had a comic Discord. I was like, okay, sure. And then I think Cartoon Crossroads was coming up, and they were like, hey, why don't you shoot Sid a message about C3? And I was like, sure. And I did. And here I am. I've been participating in the Discord, posting art at first and kind of lingering. And then now I'm supporting it by giving some art to the anthology.
Well, let's talk here about the anthology. What's your contribution to C stands for?
I went with kind of a sci-fi story. I did C is for Celestial. Ooh. So it kind of has a, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson, the stars and stuff kind of feel to it, but not really. And I kind of really leaned into a lot of manga influences and like Japanese RPG artwork, like all had the watercolor, and I always wanted to do like a watercolor comic. So, you know, why not do it for the anthology?
And was the decision to jump on this project, was it, I assume it was not a hard decision to make.
Oh, no, no. You know, I talked to a lot of the people in C3, and I go to the meetings at BrewDog and stuff. I am fairly active with the C3 comic book reading club, which we just launched, which you can join on the Fable app. And yeah, it was pretty easy to just dive right in and be like, okay, here's some pages.
Why should somebody pick up a copy of the anthology? Like, give me your best sales pitch. Why?
Hey, it's got a bunch of great talent from all over Ohio. It's like the who's who of indie underground comics right now. It really is. It's like, you know, you got myself, you got J.M. Hunter, you got just a huge smorgasbord of artists are all participating in this book, you know. And if you want to support comics and you want to support indie creators, I would support it.
And let's talk about the crowdfunder campaign before we talk more, Carl, about, you know, your artistic background and whatnot. Right now, we have, if I remember correctly, just a few hundred bucks away from getting a great page rate for everybody that's in here. And this is where I'm going to miss Sydney a little bit because she has those stats. And so trust me, as of the last one of these, just a couple of days ago, like $129 away from hitting that $10 page count. So basically, C stands for is an anthology where if there's no money that has been raised whatsoever, every particular person, every particular artist gets at least $5. And then if we raise up to $950, everybody gets $10 for a page rate. $1,550, everyone gets $15 for their page rate. And over that amount, $20 for your page rate. And where does all this money go? Right back to the individuals. You know, Carl, I'm sure you can tell the folks who are watching and listening. It takes a little bit of cash to get started, right? In your comic book endeavor.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you have to supplies, you know, I feel like a lot of younger people draw on like digital, you know, like an iPad or something. You got to have a scanner. You know, there's all kinds of tools too, and you're always trying to upgrade your arsenal as well. So, yeah.
So I misspoke. It wasn't a little bit of cash to get started. It's a lot of cash to get started.
Yeah.
So that's why this is important, folks. If you love art, you know, no matter if it's comic books or if it's graphic novels or whatever, or zines or whatever, this is a great opportunity to jump on in, support some of these folks like Carl, like all those people that I've talked to, Kelsey and JM and Robert and all those fine folks. So definitely do it. Like I said, I believe we're like $129. I could be wrong on that. I don't have that here, but I thought if memory serves correct, $129.
Math is hard. I don't think about math. I measure things, but I don't. I need my calculator most of the time.
Now, time out for a minute. You measure things. If I'm not mistaken, that's math, sir.
Is it arithmetic?
What are you, from the 1850s? Oh, you got to have your reading and your arithmetic.
I'm giving old school teacher vibes right now.
You need a bow tie and suspenders, and that would
definitely. Yeah. I see Tom Williams wrote in here. He said, it's got Carl. And I just want to say, Tom's really cool. And he's a huge part of Indie Comics in Ohio.
Yes.
I mean, Tom Williams is Indie Comics in Ohio. Like he's the man.
Absolutely. Yes. Here, we'll show his comment there. There you go. It's got Carl. All right. What more do you need, ladies and gentlemen? But Carl's
we
there.
Carl Williams? We got C3? We got a crowdfunder? We got comic books. What else you want?
There you go. I'm surprised, and I don't know, I'm probably going to open my big mouth. I should just be quiet, but I'm surprised that none of the guests so far has made a C-3PO joke. Yeah. And that, yeah, okay. Anyways, maybe that's why, because nobody laughed. Tom says, bust out the butter churn and the proportion wheel. Yes. Okay, let's get back on track here, shall we, Carl?
I said cameos galore already.
This is a great episode. I'd love for people to jump on in here. Let's talk about you for a moment. When did you know you wanted to be an artist? Like, can you think back to a time when you're like, yeah, it was this particular event that led me to wanting to be an artist?
You know what? My mom would tell me I never put down a pencil. And I remember she worked as a secretary, and she would bring me home all the like 8.5 by 11 paper from her office. And it had like all the business calculations and stats on the back, but I would draw on the other side. And she was like, and it was like never enough paper. You know, it was like, I would fill that paper up. And I remember like Batman Forever just came out when I was a kid, and like having like the trading cards and a book, you know, and a note, and they were all organized and stuff of like Jim Carrey is the Riddler and like goofy stuff like that. And I would just draw, you know, I would draw Batman and stuff. And there was that film, what was it? The Phantom. And there was, I would make a ripoff character called the Green Phantom. And I made like comics of that. So like very like comic book oriented from the start. So like, I you know, even if I was making some money or no money, I would always be doing comics. You know what I mean? Like, I just have a huge passion for comics and cartoonists and everything about it.
So after high school, did you go to art school?
I did. I did go to an art school, you know, and
would that be CCAD or would it be a different art school?
No, a lot of people assume that because I'm in college. Now, a lot of people, but I did go to the Art Institute in Pittsburgh and studied there. Mike Malley was one of my instructors, and he was like one of, I would say, my influences there. I took like a lot of his illustration classes. Another big influence on me at that point was Jeffrey Condren. He would take time to read my comics outside of class. Like, he'd be, like, in his office or something, like, working on a thesis or something. And, like, he would actually, like, take time to look at some of my early pages and stuff. And at this point, like, I didn't even know, like, mini comics were a thing, really. I, like, wasn't hip to it. I was just, like, such a Marvel DC fanboy. And, like, he would look at this stuff, though, anyway. He would look at this stuff and really analyze it and give me some really good critique on how to improve my writing and expand out of it. But and they were like big pages. They were on Bristol board, you know, 11 by 17. Wow. I would ink these things up and stuff. So that was a lot of the early comic stuff in art school for me.
How did you end up in Columbus? Are you originally from here?
I just kind of migrated here. I wanted to be like closer to my friends and stuff in the area. You know, you can't complain about the comic scene in Columbus. I think it's thriving, and I think it's like the spot to be. So that kind of drove me here, you know. And back to art school a little bit, I didn't know a lot of cartoonists. Like, I knew two people that made comics, and so it's really cool to me to be like in C3 now, and there's like a plethora of cartoonists, and there's, you know, there's cartoonists outside of C3 that are very active in the art community here. So it's all super cool.
How would you describe your art? Since we're talking about, you know, you're working on stuff for the anthology and you have a bunch of other projects that we're going to talk about. So if somebody asked you, how would you describe the art style?
Eerie, mesmerizing, spooky, very graphic. You know, I'm very influenced by Jaime Hernandez, Love and Rockets. It's one of my favorites. You know, a lot of my early zines recently are all in black and white. I'm not saying I won't make colored versions, fingers crossed, at some point, but Yeah, I don't try to make my comics adult, but they just come out that way sometimes. I like horror stuff too, so.
I think that that's a good thing, that you find something. I don't want to say it makes it easier, but it's got to, right? If you're interested in something, you got an idea and you're flowing with it, whether it's adult or for kids or whatnot. I mean, am I right or am I wrong on that? Is that not how you operate?
Yeah, I'm keeping in mind with this new Shogun Bear book I'm making right now to like keep it open for kids. Like there's no swearing. Like it's a very like A to B plot. It's really focused on the jokes. But some of my other work, I'm not afraid to like lean into, you know, some heavier stuff, mostly violence. It's okay. Like, you know, we got to get our onomatopoeias in there. We got to get our kapows and our booms and our smash and all that good stuff if we're making comics, right?
Right. Well, let's talk about a couple of your projects here. The first one I'm going to mention is Murder Queen. Now, ooh. Murder Queen is a zine, correct? Or is it a mini comic?
Yes, it is. I got it right here. It's got a limited color palette that I was experimenting with. There's really only three colors. It's like three different shades of kind of pink and stuff.
Why did you go that route?
I see a lot of people like Frank Cho and a lot of other illustrators have done this to just kind of simplify the color flow. I mean, like the more colors you introduce, the more complicated it becomes of what color things should be and like saving your swatches and stuff. And I just wanted to avoid that altogether. I think space was creeping up, and me and J.M. Hunter, Johnny Hunter, were doing a lot of like co-working sessions. We were drawing together for like hours, mm-hmm. getting stuff ready for space. And it was just one of those things where I was just like, you know what, this one's going to be the three color comic. And I didn't overthink it, and I just went for it. And I think it came out fine. It's fun, I guess. I don't know.
No, it's a unique look to it, and I was just curious as to what popped in your mind to go, I'm going to go with this different style and different coloring scheme, if you will, as opposed to just doing it, I'm sure, the way that you've done with several of your other projects. In fact, you've mentioned one, Shogun Bear, so this one is the one that's more a little bit more for kids, you said.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's very light. I got a copy here. I have like a lot of my books off to the side here to show them on camera, but it's Shogun Bear, and it's essentially, he's a samurai polar bear. Now, I do want to make the point that Shogun Bear is not a furry. He's not an anamorphic bear. You know, he's literally a polar bear in a magic suit of armor. So like, and then Yoza is his Watson to his Sherlock Holmes. So it's like, there's a lot of jokes where, Shogun Bear can't talk. He's literally a bear, so he just goes, you know, all the time. And then Yoza translates for him, and he's like, oh, Shogun said goes it this way and stuff. And it's you know, it's very light. It's very ridiculous. And I just kind of lean into the humor a lot and stuff. I like to, also on a side note, I like to just, like, play with values a lot. Like, a lot of this is, like, the same sequence, but I'm just like playing with contrast of like taking shadows away and adding shadows, because light and shadow create form. And if you add and take away, you get different compositions. So I love playing with that stuff. Very high contrast.
So how did you come up with the concept for Shogun Bear?
Oh man, that is a loaded question. Weirdly enough, I was out getting coffee and I would just bring my sketchbook with me. And I would draw. At that point, I was diving into stuff from my childhood for inspiration. So, like, a lot of, like, 90s action figures. Because all that stuff's, like, online. You can just look at it. Mm-hmm. I was like, let me look at, like, some of the stuff maybe when I was, like, I was talking about before when I was drawing Batman. Like, let me look at these kind of, like, weird action figures. So I made all these, like, weird sketches of, like, characters wearing weird suits of armor. And I think it was definitely like a riff on TMNT. I was like, oh, Shogun Bear, of course. I got to put a bear in a suit of samurai armor, you know. And I drew this sketch, and I absolutely fell in love with it. There was something about it where I was just like, I don't think I'm going to get tired of drawing this character. And so it's my character, as Todd McFarlane would say, it's my character, you know, like I want to put a dent in, you know. Okay. It's, you know, I'm going to have like multiple books of Shogun Bear. So whether people want it or not.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Carl for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are a one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, collectibles, you name it, they got it. So you need to check out the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is the web address, and they're very active on the Facebook page. Just search for at WG Comics.
Well, let's talk about a couple of other projects here. How about Captain Devil?
Captain Devil was really inspired by Scott McCloud, and he has a thing called 24-Hour Comics, which I think is like a great exercise of like, let's take away the excuses, let's take away the restraints, and like try to make a comic book in 24 hours. And so that was like the challenge of it. It's a little, it's like still my style, but it's like, it's very kinetic and it's very in the moment because it's like, I drew it in 24 hours. I even like etched the type in myself, you know, that's like my handwriting and stuff. And she's kind of, I'm not going to lie, she's kind of like a Boba Fett character. And I used a Boba Fett action figure for a lot of the poses, mm-hmm. like as a reference and stuff. But it's like just a little sci-fi romp of this character. And it really, it pushes the dialogue and it like pushes you to make stuff I don't feel like you normally write. So, and then here's me on the back. My name's Carl Lucas. Welcome to my first 24-hour comic experience. But yeah, Captain Devil was, I wanted to do a 24-hour comic basically. And that's what happened.
All right. Last two here for a moment. The House of Horrors and the Ramsey Tales. Can you give us a little summary of those two projects?
Okay. House of Horrors is Shogun Bear. It's Shogun Bear and House of Horrors. No, it's fine. It's totally fine. And I just want to get that straight for the viewers that might want to visit my website.
Which website is?
My website is www.carllucasdraws.com. And then... yeah, you just threw. That's my Instagram tag. Is
at there you Lucas. Go. So I was gonna say this is a social media tag, but at lucas.carl.
Okay, so Ramsey Tales is just a compilation of comics I made about Chef Gordon Ramsay.
Why Gordon Ramsay?
Okay, I just find him to be funny. He's super funny, and the things that come out of his mouth, I mean, like crack me up. There was one night where I just like, I made a cocktail. It was like, it had like grapefruit and like gin in it or something. And I was just watching like, oh man, I can't remember the name of it. Hell's Kitchen. Mm-hmm. I was watching Hell's Kitchen. And I'm just like, I'm just going to draw him. I'm just going to do something light and fun. And I'm just going to draw Ramsey real quick. So like I put him on pause for a second. I wrote the dialogue up and then I'm trying to find the page here. So this was the first sketch I did. Just a quote of Ramsey just saying, he says, a lack of integrity across the dish. Nothing authentic whatsoever. You know, it's just like one of those mean things Ramsey would say. And like, so originally I thought of like, okay, I'm just going to make this weird zine that's just like Gordon Ramsay out of context. So it's just like all these quotes with like, no context of what's happening or what's going on, but it's just the Ramsey quotes. But as I kept going on it, I ended up making like a short story at the beginning where like they're actually in Hell's Kitchen and it's literally in hell and stuff. And I just made a four page story of that. I started adding like screen tones, like Zipitone. I started like turning it into an actual comic book of like Gordon Ramsay in hell. And then there was some experimental stuff. Like I drew Ramsey as a Dragon Ball Z character.
Okay.
And that's like the scene where Vegeta fights Goku in like the first season. But all these images, I drew them really big. They were like, you know, 20 by 20. And I shrunk them down. and put them together in this page. So, like, I think zines and mini comics are cool for that, like, to experiment, to try things you wanted to try before. Like, the C3 anthology. I looked at the C3 anthology as, like, an opportunity to do something new and completely different that I haven't done before. And, but... yeah, and then one last thing about Ramsey's Tale. There's a great Legend of Zelda parody at the end where Gordon is journeying through Hyrule, and he encounters Gordon, the Deku Sprout, and he starts giving him quests and starts critiquing his cooking. And there's also a great character called Gordondorf. And, you know, it's really fun. So that's Ramsey's Tales.
First thing about Gordon Ramsay, I will say, I'm not a fan of Hell's Kitchen, but Kitchen Nightmares.
That's where
it's at. Like, I watch that show or repeats of that show or it's streaming or whatever. And that, I don't feel bad for any of those people, by the way, as a side note. I don't know what that says about my personality, but I'm like, you deserve this butt chewing that you're getting from Gordon Ramsay because you're a moron. You deserve this. But, and secondly, I think you should carry this around with you everywhere you go, just in case you run into Gordon Ramsay, you can go, I made a comic of you.
I might tag him online. I'll be honest, I just did the final print of it, like, happy with and stuff. I did have a version at Space that I secretly threw on the giveaway table. I had 50 copies and I just threw them on the free table and walked away and I didn't say anything. So it's been a secret launch of Ramsey Tales. I'm kind of weird. I like that sometimes. I'm just going to throw these on this table.
Well, I think you told me about this project when I met you at the CXC kickoff party.
I don't remember, but...
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about Psychgeist.
Okay, yeah. So that is my book with Luke Hare, who's been in the scene here for a while. You know, Luke's a comic book writer and he's very, you know, he's very connected and stuff. He does a few podcasts himself. So Zeitgeist, I actually, speaking of college, I met Luke Hare in college.
Oh,
he was
okay.
In my writing class with Jeffrey Condren, who I was talking about earlier. And me and Luke just started meeting up and we pitched ideas back and forth, and I told him to rewrite this and rewrite that. And I'm very fussy. I'm hard to work with. There's a reason most of my books are alone, because I'm just hard to work with. But we pulled it off. I think it's a fun 8-pager of this character. He's kind of like a shaman, and he goes to the netherworld, and he helps people with, like, they have, like, demon viruses in their mind and stuff. It's very, like, high concept, kind of weird, but it's like psychics, kind of.
You know what? I appreciate you're self-aware that you admit that you're somewhat difficult to work with. I think that takes a great amount of honesty, man, if that's the case, because I'm sure it's easy for somebody to maybe say, well, there's this excuse or that excuse, but you're owning it, man.
I'm trying to be a team player, you know, and I feel like, you know, C3 is that, like, me trying to be a team player. Like working in a team setting and stuff, but you know, I'm a very insular person. I had a teacher that said, you know, art is a life of solitude, and I kind of agree with that. It kind of, like, lives with you and is made by you. But you know, I don't know. I don't want to get into all the philosophy of that.
Okay, we'll save that for another time. Next time.
That's too heavy.
For crying out loud, we were just talking about butter churns and Gordon Ramsay, so this is clearly not the philosophical, deep, meditative episode.
I know. Yeah, Tom Williams wrote, break out your proportion wheel. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, so enough said. All right, you said you were a Marvel and DC fanboy for a long time, so who are some of your favorite superheroes?
I love X-Men. I love, you know, of course I love Batman. Who doesn't love Batman? Batman's just fun to draw. Batman's great. You know, something recently I read was Chainsaw Man. Pretty in the Chainsaw Man. You asked me. He's kind of a superhero. He's a manga superhero.
Yeah, I'll accept that.
Yeah, favorite superhero though. That's tough. You know, I'm a big Superman fan myself too. So yeah, I'll say those. Batman primarily.
What led you to the X-Men? Because a lot of people have that, like, you know, the mutant storyline, we didn't fit in. I also didn't fit in high school or whatever. Do you have a similar tale where you just thought these people are awesome?
I don't feel that way because, like, when I was a kid, X-Men the Animated Series was on TV on Fox, obviously. Like, I was born in 89, you know, so I'm in my 30s. So I used to think that Wolverine was just yellow Batman when I was a kid. Like, I didn't know, like Marvel and DC were separated. I was just like, oh, there's a yellow guy with pointed ears. And what made that even more confusing was the amalgamation books. You know, the DC versus Marvel books were coming out, and they had the Darkclaw character. So, like, I just associated all those characters as the same thing. Later, I would learn, you know, that's Wolverine and all of that. I just thought they were super cool. Like, I thought the characters were cool. The storylines were fun. I think the first X-Men movie really cemented me as a fan, though. Just to answer your question. Sorry, I kind of...
No. I am looking up real quick because I haven't thought about those Amalgam comics in forever. I have Assassins, which was like the Elektra Catwoman mix up. I can't remember. I want to say it was Scott McDaniel that drew it.
Ooh.
I don't remember who drew it because the story goes, anyways, I met that individual. I think it's Scott McDaniel. I met him at a Comic Con and he signed my copy and he signed it. John, stay away from girls like this. I was like, that's pretty righteous. I mean,
that's amazing. You know, I'm a big fan of Scott McDaniel myself. You know, his Nightwing run where he was on Nightwing was one of my first comics. You know, like, my dad would take me to the comic store and, like, that was the one I got to pick out, you know, and it was the issue where I wish I could remember the issue number, but it's like where Nightwing is fighting Deathstroke on the cover and, like, Deathstroke is after Man-Bat and he's, like, trying to capture Man-Bat and stuff. But that was Scott McDaniel. And I love those pages where he has all those, like, kinetic poses that all connect, like, of, like, Nightwing. He had one of the first websites that had, like, information for young cartoonists, like, starting out. Like, I remember when I was a kid, like, I was desperate for anything, like, any, like, how to draw a book, anything that could tell me what to do. But he had, like, a little write-up on his website in the early 90s that was like, get a light table, these are the tools I use, and just, like, intro stuff that I don't think was available for everyone at the time.
Yeah, I'm 99% certain it was Scott McDaniel that wrote that book or created that book. But yeah, I haven't thought about those. Are there any other creators that you really admire and take inspiration from?
Oh, where to start? You know, of course I love Chris Claremont. Like, sometimes I would just, like, listen to Chris Claremont interviews because I love listening to him talk about the X-Men. He talks about it with, like, such passion, you know, like Kitty Pryde, like, he calls her by her first name. He's like, well, Kitty wouldn't do that in this situation. Aurora. You know, he talks about them like they're real people, which I love. You know, he wrote the X-Men for 19 years, I think, as Ron was legendary. Some other creators, and I am blanking really hard right now. I've really been getting into Darwin Cook a little bit more recently, going back and listening to his interviews and stuff he did. I think that book New Frontier is a fantastic. I would put that in my top five DC books. New Frontier, where it's kind of like a new take on Justice League and stuff. Darwin Cook, his Catwoman run. I mean, like,
his Catwoman one was fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's very, very little there I have to complain about. I don't get tired of reading about comic creators. Like, just those two off the top of my head.
You know, I started reading Catwoman when Jim Ballant was the artist.
Yeah.
And then as soon as, like, I've always said, like, the last, when Ballant left and there was still, like, they still stretched the book out for another, like, 12 issues, I'm like, they should have just canceled it because it was just a rotating bullpen of different creators. And then when Darwin Cooks came out, I was a little leery. I was like, I don't know. But I'm thankfully, I was very surprised that it was top notch. It was absolutely excellent and big fan of that. So it's a shame that we don't have Darwin Cook around more, you know.
It is a shame. He died super young. I think he was like 54 or something. But yeah. No, I think his work lives on. It speaks for itself. And
absolutely.
At least Share a Tear is heavily influenced by Darwin Cook, and there's plenty of artists that are still influenced by him. So, and what a great creator.
All right. Well, Carl, let's start to wrap things up here. I want to talk one more time about the crowdfunder campaign. It is for C Stands For, which is the anthology that the C3 organization has put together. Again, everyone's getting $5. All right. We've already hit that page count, that tier. Everyone's getting $5. I believe that we're super close to having $950 raised, in which everyone will get a page rate of $10. $1,550 will get everyone $15 page rate, and then anything over $1,550, which we can do, folks. We can do this. We can max this bad boy out. I mean, we're closing things down August 26th. That still gives you plenty of time. Plenty of time. All you have to do, ladies and gentlemen, is look down below. It's been scrolling the entire time that Carl and I have been chatting. That's all the information that you need if you want to go over and check it out. Again, it's going to scroll here real quick. C Stands For Anthology over on Crowdfunder. tinyurl.com/C Stands For. It'll support local Ohio artists, ladies and gentlemen. And no one's getting rich off this. So it's not a Ponzi scheme. All right. It's not a little bait and switch. All right. The money comes in. The money's going to go out too. Don't ruin this.
We're not scamming you.
Oh, I thought you said we're scamming you. I swear. I'm like, what are you doing? Don't ruin this.
No. I'm trying to be by the book here.
It's not a scam, is what Carl said.
It's not. Listen. It's not a scam.
That's right. It's only a scam if Carl calls your grandmother and tells her that you're in jail and she needs to wire $500 to Carl. That's a scam.
Yeah, if I call you and ask for $50, it's still for the crowdfunder.
But if it's $500, it's probably for him. He's just pocketing the cash.
Maybe. I can confirm nothing.
You wait. We're going to get the Law & Order SVU team after you and find out where that $500 went. Anyways.
Oh, my God.
Anyways, again, ladies and gentlemen, in all seriousness, I know we're having fun with it, but in all seriousness, this money goes back to the creative individuals to help out with lots of fees, tabling fees, workshops, supplies, et cetera, et cetera. You'll be doing a great job and a great thing supporting these fine folks. And yeah, just do it, folks. Seriously, there's a website right down below, the tiny URL. Go over, check it out, donate, and help us reach that goal of over $1,550. So, Carl, where can folks find you on the interwebs?
Oh, you can find me at www.carllucasdraws.com. I have an online store with Shogun Bear right now. I'm going to be doing XPX next month, so maybe after that show I will update my listing of like on that website. You can also find me on TikTok at Carl Lucas Draws. You can find me on Instagram at lucas.carl. On Facebook I am Carl Lucas Art, and that should be enough to find me.
And you mentioned about CXE, Cartoon Crossroads Columbus, coming up real soon. Actually, sadly, time's going quick, man. It's going to be here September 26th through the 29th. If you don't know anything about it, just check out the website. I can't do it justice. I mean, I can't thoroughly explain how great that is. As we all say here, and Carl, you gave your correct.
Yeah. One more thing I want to plug is the C3 Comic Book Reading Club. You can join us on the Fable app. You can join us on the C3 Discord. And also there's a ton of other great artists on the Discord. We're all talking about comics. We're all sharing our thoughts. It's just a big, it's a big thought experiment of like local creators in Columbus all sharing their work and collaborating together. So, you know, check out the C3 Discord, check out the Comic Book Reading Club.
Okay. And as I wrap up here real quick, pvdcast.com is where you can find my personal podcasting project, Facebook, IG, Threads. It's at pvdcast. I'm also right here. As you see, my X handle is at pvdmvp. So if you like what you've been watching or listening to, let me know. And with that, Carl, I'm going to let you get going, man. So thanks for sitting down and chatting, man.
No, thank you, John. Thanks for having me, and thanks for hosting C3. I'm really grateful, and I hope everybody gives to the crowdfunder, or at least at the very least checks out the Discord or the conversations, you know.
Tom reminded us 99.9% it's not a scam. So
that's right. See, we have Tom Williams' word, you know, that this is not a scam. So I mean, what more do you want? What more do you want from Columbus Comics? I mean, like, really.
Exactly. Folks, check it out. Crowdfounder, you know where to find it. It's right down below. I'm going to give one final plug to it. Do it. Let's get up over that 1,550 mark. And with that, we're going to get on out of here. Right, Carl?
All right.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Carl Lucas, talking about his many different projects, his participation in C3, as well as their anthology that came out just a few months ago. I want to thank Carl for taking some time to sit down and chat with me back there in August when we had the opportunity to do so. And, you know, I'm just going to say it once again, check out his stuff. All right. He's got some cool stuff going on. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, it's about time for me to let you know where you can get in touch with me if you have a question about this episode or any episode for that matter. Well, you can find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at PVDMVP. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. Just look for at PVDcast. And if you want to shoot me an email, you can do that too. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is the email address. Maybe you want to tell some folks about the show and you want to let them know where they can hear it. Well, there's a bunch of avenues for that. First of all, pvdcast.com is the online home of yours truly and a great place to get every single episode. But it's also available through all those podcast outlets and apps like Spotify, iHeartRadio app, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, etc., etc. All you got to do is simply just open up your favorite podcasting app or outlet. Go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And if you're using one of those apps, if you're using one of those outlets, please let the folks know that you're listening. You can do that by, of course, rating and reviewing. Rating and reviewing moves me up in the algorithm. And, of course, subscribing helps you out because you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. There's even a third way that you can catch every single episode, and that's through the weekly live broadcast that I do through the Facebook page, once again, at PVDcast, on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So there you go. You can go through PVDcast.com, through your favorite podcasting app, or, of course, the Facebook page. And those are three great avenues for hearing the PVDcast. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you very much for checking out the episode, and I shall chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2024.